Está pareja.
Hi, friend.
How are you?
Good.
Juggling.
You can hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay, cool. All right.
Hear you fine. What's going on, man?
Well, actually, getting ready to Wednesday, we're going to Colorado, see my daughter, go to my business, see how that's doing, see my other daughter. I'll shoot a little bit, but kind of taking a break, both physically and mentally. I think I need it. I've
Sure.
been hitting it pretty hard, so I think it's kind of time.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's that?
Nothing wrong with that.
I'll take my bow and shoot for fun. Not that it isn't fun, but
Right.
no, training or anything, to shoot to shoot.
Good.
Yeah.
What question did you have?
All right, so training has been going pretty good, and progress certainly is not linear. Let's see, so far, I'm kind of looking at my log. Shooting 720s, have done some high arrow stuff, which I think is really good. So thanks for that. Score-wise, I have broken 300 in the first half, a number of times. So feeling pretty good about that. Shot a 595 last weekend.
Yeah.
So feeling, really good about that. Clean up a few shots. I'm in the sixes real easy.
Yeah.
Had a good training week. Scored 36 Thursday, did a 302. Took a little bit easy Friday. I was thinking Saturday, Saturday I'll break six or be real close or have a really good, session. After four or five ends, it just never really came together. Consistency wise, group wise, score wise. On that one, I shot a 551, and a year ago I would have been ecstatic about that.
Yes.
I would be in heaven,
How many, you ramped up your volume, correct? How long ago?
after we talked, which was a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So are you at 2 or 3 weeks out from ramping up volume right now? Okay. So that's a comment. I'm going to be letting people in to, as they log in and whatever. Like, I got Jeff's joining. I don't know who Jeff is, but we'll figure that out here in a second. Hopefully it's not like a spammer. But so understand, high volume is wonderful. However, Maggie used to hate this part of her training. So same for myself. We would log into we would log, say you log high volume 2 or 3 weeks out. After about 3 weeks of high volume, you can see a reverse course on scores. And the reason being is because you're sort of beat down. You don't get to you're not shooting 100% at 100% because you're physically tired, you're mentally tired, you shot all those arrows. And if you just keep shooting high volume, you're just all you're gonna go, you're gonna see a reversal, and then that plays on your mental psyche a little bit. You're like, why am I not shooting well? Blah, 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 blah. You have to understand that you haven't given yourself a break. That's all, that's the periodization side of like the training. That when I coach someone, it's always meant, it's, I always tell them, like, listen, I can coach you all year long and we'll do training plans for each major tournament, but like, you can't just shoot a shit ton of arrows all day, every day, and expect to continue to get better all the time. sooner or later, you'll get to a point where, you know, you're shooting pretty consistent, but if you're not accustomed to it, you're not adjusted to it, you'll see a decline around 3 weeks out.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Jeff, yep. I muted you just so you know, just for background noise purposes. If you have a question, you can log in then and chat, or you can unmute and chat. You should be able to unmute. I think I turned that off. Yeah. So yeah, just understand, like, you know, periodization is built over a 4 to 5 week period. High volume is meant for, you know, the first and second week, specifically to help you out. And then, you build that volume. And what happens? You start in that volume and like 2 weeks in, you feel freaking amazing. And then you hit third week and things get like miserable. 'Cause you're like, man, like, I feel like I have the control, but you know, the aim isn't the steadiest, the release isn't right. as consistent. You're like, what am I doing? And then you get like frustrated with it. But then I'll tell you, if you take a week, cut arrows back for like 1 week and then come back in the next week and start to score, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, there it is. Yep, that's it. Because you're not physically distraught per se, I guess you could say. You're not physically broken down. You've given yourself some recovery time. You've given your brain a chance to recover. And then all of a sudden what happens is you'll see a spike then in your scores because you're motivated to shoot when you take that time off. Like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go. And there's a little bit of a placebo to that, but that's okay. The placebo is a strong thing. And it's really, Kurt, it's not any different than bodybuilding, weightlifting. You break muscles down to build them up. It's the same, you know, consider your archery, your archery skill as sort of a major muscle group. You break it down, you educate it, you make it fatigued, you do all this stuff, you teach it all this new stuff, and then all of a sudden take a little bit of a break, you have all that knowledge, all that strength, and then you come right back. And so I don't know if that's the best analogy, but that's
no, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I wouldn't stress that. I wouldn't stress about that. You know, you dropped a little bit in your scores. You're not always going to shoot your best scores every time you shoot. That's the other thing that does too, is it kind of trains you. Like, you need to, on those third or fourth week out, like if you're on a 5 week cycle and you're the third week, end of the third week, beginning of the fourth week, and you're not cutting volume, you know, you learn to shoot through the struggle. That's the other side of that's beneficial mentally, because you go to a tournament, you got to learn to shoot through that struggle. Sometimes we're the bug, sometimes we're the windshield. Hopefully we're the windshield more times than not.
Right.
That does not always happen.
Okay. And that was the question I was going to lead into. It's like after, you know, four or five ends, it's like, man, it's just, you know, it's not coming together. Should I shoot through it? Keep going? Should I do something else?
You gotta go by feel on that one. I mean, if you're keeping score and the score is shit and it's not going in the right direction, then stop what you're doing and fix the problem. Is your aim crap? Fix the aim. Is your release crap? Fix the release. Is your bow arm crap? Fix the bow arm. You know, do a quick video, make sure your alignment's right, get your mind right, and then, you know, maybe you can quick fix it and hop right back into it. Maybe you can't. And if you can't, maybe you had other stuff going on that day. Maybe, you had some other stressor going on in your life that you don't realize. Like, that stuff really draws from our ability to perform at a high capacity. And it can be anything from worrying about retirement accounts, paying bills, death in a family, sickly relative, relationship issues. Feel like I'm a counselor right now. It can be any of that stuff. Your business. You said you have multiple businesses or one?
Just one.
Yeah. One. So it could be your business. Like, you're something that's sitting out there that's manifesting itself, and you know that that's on your brain. You're not going to be 100% into your shot that day if that's on your brain. And people don't take that for granted. And you can, I'm not dig dogging on someone, but you can blueprint whatever shot you want. But if you got other shit going on in your life that's not sorted, it's going to affect how you perform. Ask me how I know. Because being the figurehead of the Bearable Project and doing all the coaching and doing all that stuff has done nothing more than just add as an added distraction for my own shooting for the last 5 years, 6 years. So, you know, trust me, I know, I get it. And I get how much it sucks. So, you know, you have to, when you're self-coaching, you have to recognize, what should I do right now? Should I drive forward and fix this on the spot as I'm going? Because there's also, you know, and you have to go by the feel for that day. There's also some good learning experience in pushing through the suck and just keep continuing the score, finish the score, because that's what you set out to do that day. You know, mm-hmm. And maybe you cut it from 72 arrows to 36 arrows, and then you go and do drills to fix the crap. Or maybe you just take that day off. Hey, I shot 250 arrows over the last 4 days. I think that's probably part of my problem. I'm just gonna take a break. And that's okay too. You know, and that's the difficulty in coaching, being a self coach and coaching, is convincing a shooter it's okay for you to stop right now, because we're not accomplishing anything good. Yeah. I'd rather see you walk.
And Friday, that was my kind of comment. It's like, you know, I'm tired. And Sunday was better. But you know, yeah. Okay. All right.
Good. Good. Hold on a second. I'm letting some more people in here. Anything else, Kurt?
You know, that's that was my biggest thing.
Good. Okay. Good. Well, you weren't far off. You were, you know, you have to, like, when I coach people, when I talk to people, when I do like seminars that you were a part of and whatnot, like, man, I try to explain to people, like, the goal is for you to be educated enough to know how to handle your shooting. My goal is never to coach the same person forever. I'd rather see that person be educated and get experience and be able to handle, like, I know what I need to do. I'm going to fix it. Any coach out there that's like holding on to this notion that they have to be a person's coach, or this person needs them, that's self-fulfillment. No coach should approach archery that way. Shooters need to get to a point where they build a tolerance, they build a strength, they build an education and a knowledge base about, this is how I'm going to handle things. If you have a question, you should be able to reach out to somebody and whatever, and take care of that. If it's a private lesson, take care of that person. But you know, the goal is always educate a shooter, stand on your own 2 feet. Because when you're, even if you're in somebody's coach box, in reality, when you're on that shooting line, whether it's the first end of 72 arrows or the last end or head to heads, you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. You and the voice in your head. And what you're saying to yourself in your head is the number one most important thing happening right there and in that moment. Process, form, whatever, doesn't matter. If you have any negative thoughts going on in your head, if you have anything other than positive and driven motivation in your head, you've already lost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not giving yourself a chance. So
right.
And that happened during your practice, but you were able to be like, you know what, you know, where's the benefit? Is my benefit walking away today because I've already done this amount of work? Or do I need to stay and suck it up and shoot through it? The only person that has that answer is you. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good enough.
Sounds good. Yeah. I might like to hit you up for send some form videos or something.
Yep.
I'd like to get some feedback on that, but I'll hit you up later.
Yeah. Just look. I don't remember. You're on Patreon. So we'll look at your tier and see what's included with your tier. And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Okay, because some of that's free on Patreon. Some of that's got, you know, your subscription just comes off of what the fee would be. That's the way I do it. I don't really do like Andreas that just posted this morning. He was the last one that I've I've allowed to sign up for a full year of coaching, and it's worked very well for him. He is super, super internally driven. But I don't really do that anymore, because it takes a special person to really be driven enough to invest that money and stay involved. I've had numerous people pay me to be coached for a year, and after 3 to 6 months, a lot of times people just fall off because they want me. Sorry about that background noise. Dispatch. It's not me though. I'm gonna turn that off real quick. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really do that. I don't really do that much anymore. I'll do like 1 month programs. I'll do private lessons. I'll do form stuff online, but I don't do that other stuff. Anyway, that's outside of this situation. Just let me know and hit me up direct. Okay. Anybody else? Saw Jeff was in here. Jeff, Joey, thanks for joining us. Morton, I saw you, Morton. Quick, hop on and then hop off. It looked like you were driving though, so that's okay. You guys have any questions, any comments, anything you want to talk about?
I'm still here. You're just there? Turn my video off.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You have any questions or anything you want to talk about, or are you just kind of just?
No, I was on my way home and I got the email, so I just thought I'd log on to check out.
Cool. All right, that's cool. Yeah, man, I don't do these too often, whether it's completely open to the entire Bearable Project subscribers. I do them quite often for just the Patreon subscribers and get into details with them. But when I have the time and I try to, you know, offer just talk about Bearable, what's going on, and catch up with people.
Yeah. But, yeah, when you usually do this, it's the middle of the night for me. So I'm trying to just get on those I can get on.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you at? Netherlands, right?
North of Netherlands. Norway.
Norway. I knew it began with an N. I couldn't remember Morton. I apologize.
That's quite all right.
So I've coached Morton a little bit. We did some coaching with Morton. He stuck with it. Had some really good success early on, you know, and then life gets in the way and stuff like that. So, but yeah, Morton, are you, what season are you? Are you guys in indoor season right now over there?
Indoor season has just started.
Just started. Okay.
Literally just started.
Yeah. You're a little bit ahead of us. I remember that now.
The first 18 meter tournament was yesterday.
Got it. Did you shoot?
No, it was a little too far off for me. That's problematic sometimes when I have the kids, I need some babysitters and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally get it.
I wanted to go, but it's not always possible.
Yeah.
And but it starts now because right now it's starting to get dark very quick. Like,
yeah,
I live in the south, which has the most light, and here it's dark at 8 o'clock now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, our weather's just changing here on the East Coast, but yeah, the outdoor stuff is pretty much come to a close, but here it's hunting is big. So I'd say October, November is really dedicated toward hunting. We had a 25 meter that popped up on our whatever our registration link for USA Archery locally, but indoor, I think Lancaster puts on like an October indoor and they have one like every month after that. But, you know, indoor doesn't really kick off until closer to December around here. Like, legitimately, you see them more and more popping up and stuff like that. So we'll see some in October, but I'm sorry. We'll see a couple in October and a couple in November. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to indoor season this year, finally.
It's good.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, man, thanks for logging in. I appreciate it. It was good talking to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is still here. I saw Elizabeth pop in. Let me see here. Joey, I got your message and I will I'll let you know. I have not actually, but I will send that message today. Elizabeth commented, I'm actually wrapping up outdoor right now. Do you have any recommendations for getting ready for indoor? Yeah, make sure you're point on, Elizabeth. Make sure you're point on. Point on as small of a crawl as possible, which doesn't typically happen in indoor. So if you can keep it like, if you can keep your crawl somewhere around half target, a target crawl for me for indoor is around half of a Yoast tab, if that makes sense. So that's my theory. I'm not a fan of low poundage 23 series arrows, 9.33 millimeter arrows. Stay away from the big fat arrows. They don't do you any good. They don't provide you with any extra points, in my opinion. I really don't think they do. Unless you are someone who is shooting super, super consistent, because the fat arrows just magnify your errors. So if you have inconsistencies with your shot process, you know, I shoot the match grade Easton. I think they're I want to say a 6.5 millimeter arrow. That arrow versus a 23 or whatever, say a mini claps on that arrow is an 8, mini claps on a 9.33 is 6 or 7. So, you know, for indoor and just get, if I could give people, like, indoor's a struggle. It's a tough, tough game to play because there's no environmental conditions that are going to affect it. It's literally just you and the target. And I truly think that people focus so much time on tune, and not that tune's not important, but like, if you're not keeping your arrows in the target, you're worried about tune, that's an issue. You know, just focus on working on your weaknesses. There's plenty of information on the Bearable Project YouTube page. If you can't search what your weakness is or what your struggle is or whatever, then reach out to me and I'll answer the question for you, and then we'll send you the right information. But work on your weaknesses, people. Focus on, if you're not able to aim, you're not able to keep your aim, then work on your aim. If your release is not good, work on your release. If your release is not good because of target panic, and we pluck, we're like, oh, I plucked. No, you didn't pluck. That's target panic. You got to the middle. Whatever it is triggered your shot. You tried to hold on to it. You couldn't hold on to it, and you plucked. Work on your weaknesses. That's really the name of the game. Get a consistent tune. That's general. Make sure you're keeping your arrows at least within, let's say, the 6 ring. And that way you're giving yourself a fair shot to understand, you know, hey, I'm trending left, I'm trending right. You can figure that out. If you're still spraying them all over the target, it's going to be super, super hard to really get a tune ready early on. Like, I'll tell you what Grayson does, same thing I do. Like, early on, I'll start at 10 yards and just focus on really consistent shots, really bang in the middle. You could do that 30 extra. There's a video out there on our page, on the YouTube page about it. You can just shoot a 3-spot at 5 yards, 3 yards. Just start there. The amount of consistency. I'm not sure who that is. I might mute you. That might be Morton. Yeah, it is Morton. Morton, I'm gonna mute you just so you know, buddy. Oh, you already did. Thank you. I appreciate it. If prime example, so many people get caught up on, I gotta shoot 18 meters, I gotta shoot 18 meters. I get caught up on that because I just want to jump into shooting 80 meters. All of us would benefit from standing at 3 yards, shooting at a three spot and just hammering the X. The amount of shot discipline and consistency it takes to hit an X in a three spot at 3 to 5 yards is the same amount it takes to keep them in the red at 18 meters. If you can consistently, I would say gold or at least the 10 ring and in, you're doing damn good at 18 meters. If you can keep that, if you can hit that X 30 times in a row without flaw, and you'll know when the shot was crap and it was, you know, you could just start with that. That will have such a positive impact on your indoor game before you even shoot your first game. It's crazy, but you have to, like, you have to mentally be in at every shot. And I think the difficulty there is that it's super close, so your confidence is high. But what we do is we rely on, we are okay with subpar shots at 18 meters that go in the middle. Same thing can happen at three meters out on a three spot. You can't be okay with a subpar shot. You have to identify, nope, that wasn't acceptable. I'm going to make that better. And that's the mindset going into the next arrow. Start your season that way. Hone in on that. If your bow arm's moving all over the place because your aim isn't consistent, fix it. Don't be okay with good groups on drive-bys. That's not going to get you anywhere when the time matters, when it counts. Kurt, what's your question, buddy?
Okay, you can hear me, yeah?
Yep, you're good.
So something that I do on indoor is shoot bear shaft along with the fletched arrows.
Yeah.
And that'll show up. I mean, to me, it shows up release arrows, especially, you know, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I can shoot bear shafts in the group, then I think I'm doing okay. I think there's some value there. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when I set up a tune, typically, I always have a bear shaft, and I just set up that tune so that the bear shaft hits the same with the fletchings, the fletch shafts at 18 meters. That's easy to do. That's really mm-hmm. not hard. If you're having a if anybody out there that listens to this, eventually I'll upload it. If you know. Make sure you pay attention to the basic tuning seminar that's on our, and I'll make sure that I put that in the episode information. Elton and I go through at a seminar at Nationals in Virginia and really get into the nitty gritty of like, well, how do you move your, how do you tune your bow to reflect where you're hitting and what you're doing, you know? And just remember, good groups, right? Real tight groups. With that bear shaft that Kurt's talking about, if you're keeping that bear shaft in a tight group, but that tight group's not in the middle, move the group. Don't move you, move the group. If you're consistent and you're hitting good groups, move the group. How do you do that? Well, you don't move groups. If you have good groups, you don't move them by clicks on the plunger. You move it by moving the plunger. Just keep that in mind. Clicks on the plunger will take you out of tune. You only have so many clicks on the plunger you're going to stay in tune. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, that's a good point. Morton said, fat arrows. Do you consider a 6 or 7 millimeter a fat arrow? No, I would say that's the middle of the road. That's like a happy medium. You can go with a skinny arrow. Definitely the most forgiving 0.166, you know, that ballpark 0.204, relatively skinny. As soon as you get into 0.234 to 0.244, or you start getting into the 4, 5, 6, 7 millimeter up to the 9, I don't know if there's any 8s. I don't know what that would be. Maybe like a PS26 might be an 8 millimeter, from Black Eagle. But I would say anything, you know, 20, I would say 22 diameter and up is what I consider sort of a fatter shaft, you know, but typically everybody shoots 9.33s. That's because that's the biggest legal amount we're allowed to use. Elizabeth asked me, do you have a poundage recommendation for indoor? Elizabeth, I'm I'm curious of what you're using now. I would say no, I don't have a recommendation. It's going to be different for everyone. I will say that poundage varies for men from 30, I would say on average from all the people that I've interviewed and the shooters I've worked with, on average is somewhere between 36 and 42 is the average. 38 to 42 might be the average. For women, it's probably 26 to 32, maybe a little bit higher. 28 to 32 is probably most common. I would also say that, like, for indoor, poundage is less of a huge factor. But yeah, 29 pounds on the fingers is that's fine. That's not if you can go up a little bit, go up a little bit. But you know, you have to find what works best for you, and you have to find, like, where does your release work the best? Where is your bow tune the best with what arrows you have? As you're increasing poundage, your tune changes. You know, you have to kind of find all those hot, where's my release the most consistent? Where am I getting into my back my best? There's so many subtle changes that you can make. But, you know, guys like John and Grayson and a few others, they really notice that difference when you go 1 pound up or down, 2 pounds up or down. Many, many shooters haven't gotten to that level of consistency yet where they see those changes, you know, and they're like, oh, well, the higher my poundage, the cleaner my release. No, not necessarily. There's a negative return on investment there. You go too high, the target panic gets worse. The more tension you hold on your fingers doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be most consistent and the cleanest. So you have to find that happy place of, I can hold in the middle real easy. My release is still clean. My tune is good. And that can vary, you know, and you have to play around with arrow length, tip weight, tiller, brace height, and really try to get everything lined up. You know, I think my first year of shooting, I think I found a really, really, really good tune early on. And it was definitely one of the benefits of having guys like Grayson and John to bounce things off of. It happened to be John's old bow. But having a good tune really, really does help with consistency. But I also have shot good scores with great tunes, and it can be done, especially indoor. Outdoor, 50 meter, maybe not so much. Indoor, you can get away with it. But so I hope that helps. Yep, no problem. No problem. Well, it's 11:29. So I said it was going to be 30 minutes. You guys have any other questions? If not, the open barebow talk is going to come to a close. For those of you that listen to this later on, go check out the Patreon page. There's a lot of exclusive content. There's a lot of exclusive access to guests and all kinds of stuff where you get to log in before podcasts are recorded and talk to guests yourself. There's exclusive coaching opportunities for Patreon people. I really try to cater to the people that support the Barebow Project through Patreon as much as I can. This is a rare opportunity where I kind of opened it up to the public, just to give you an idea of what kind of benefit there is to it. So go check that out. Go check on the new online store. There's two clothing lines. There's the Barebow Life and a clothing line, and there's the We Are Barebow clothing line. Go check those out through the Linktree in every episode, and Facebook and Instagram. You can find it all there. And then I am doing an advanced online barebow seminar in November. I want to say 16th and 19th and 26th. Actually, let me look that up right now just because I want to know. 19th and the 26th from 5 to 9 p.m. each day. That is the link to register for that is in the event page on the Barebow Project Facebook page and in the group, I believe. And what you want to do, if you want to take that, I mean, we'll go over target panic, mental game, basic tuning, all kinds of topics. I've taught this before, you know, it's, everyone has benefited from it in some way, shape or form. And it's really, really, it's a good resource for information. Plus I can cater the conversation to what your needs are. So go check that out. Consider signing up for it. That link is in Linktree also. So for the rest of you, I'm going to call it a day. All right. Thanks for joining us. Bearable Project out. See everyone. Yep. No problem, Elizabeth. Take care.